right, we're learning to get out of our comfort zone. How many is excited about getting out of your comfort zone today? A lot better than the first service. It took them two claps to get to where you were. How many are excited about getting out of your comfort zone? There we go, yeah. For some of you, that's a clap of faith because you're really not excited. But, you know, I want to be excited. Maybe that's the better. How many want to be excited about getting out of your comfort zone? There you go. All right. It's a process, I know. And change is a process, and it comes in stages of our life. But we know they call it a comfort zone for a reason, because it's comfortable right here, man. We got the big C right here. Comfortable right here, man. We like it comfortable, don't we? We like it convenient. We like it our way. Am I the only one that likes it our way? Yeah, I like it my way. Yeah. Me and Sinatra, we like it this way. We have it our way. We want it our way. And we're learning over this series of messages, and some of you are thinking, man, this is a long series. And I just tell you, it is, because it's a process. You can't rush through a series like this on learning to get out of your comfort zone and to change in a hurry. So we're taking our time to dissect and to get in to different areas of our life, learning that God is calling us out of our comfort zone many times. Last week we talked about that God many times calls us out of our comfort zone and takes us left so that he can get us what? Right. Many of you, I saw many of your posts, or you sent me texts or emails and told me how much that last week a discussion that came out of your small group time together in your family life groups, just an awesome time of discussion, as many of you opened up and shared how you were going through a left season in your life. Or some of you had been through a left season and now you're out of that season, but you're able to identify with those who are. And you understand now that if you hadn't gone left, you had never gotten right. And it's so true, isn't it? Many times God's got to take us through this left season to prepare us to be right. Today I want to talk to you about taking risks, learning to take risks. What's the first thing today that you think of? What's the first emotion you think of when I hear the word risk involved? What is it? Fear. Isn't that true? When we talk about taking risks, what's the first thing that's going to grip your heart? It's the spirit of fear. And it's like, ooh, I don't know. You know, automatically we talk about anything that has to do with a risk, and there's fear involved. That's very natural. It should be, or it's not a risk. Risk brings up feelings of fear when we talk about taking risk. But I believe that God is calling you and I to take a risk, to head on these feelings of fear. 2 Timothy says, he has not given us a spirit of what? Fear. He has not given us a spirit of fear. Isn't that pretty cool? God has not given us a spirit of fear. But yet he wants me to leave my comfort zone, and he wants me to take risk, but he hasn't given me a spirit of fear. And so I know this because Scripture tells me that 365 times in Scripture we find that the Word of God talks about and addresses us about not having a spirit of fear, about fearing not, 365 times. How many days of the year are there? How many? 365. Now, you can say that's coincidence. You can say you don't believe the numbers add up in Scripture and it just happened to fall that way. Either way, I really don't care what you believe, but I believe it's more than a coincidence that God was wanting to express to us that every day of the year, he has got something for us, and he has come to give us a fear not. That every day we're going to face fears. Every day in our Christian walk, many times we're going to have to deal with things that we're fearful of doing. And that's okay, because God's going to use those things for his glory. God's going to use those things to stretch us out of our comfort zone and to take us into the place he wants us to go. I can tell you this, that I am fearful of many things. I'm fearful of heights. Anybody fearful of heights in here? Good. We share the same common bond right here. You know what I'm talking about. I didn't used to be scared of heights, but the older I get, the more fearful of heights I become. I remember when we were painting the ceiling in this room. This is not really that tall, but, you know, when you're scared of heights, it kind of is. And so I remember we were painting the ceiling in this room. Pastor Jeremiah and Matt were spraying it down. I'm like, man, I've got to get up there, and I've got to at least paint part of the ceiling black up there, because I want to say I did that. And so I had to, in order to do that, I had to face my fears. And so I waited till hardly anybody else was in the building. And I climbed up on the scaffolding to the very top. And we didn't have guardrails up. And so I'm up there, and everybody else, they're up there, Pastor Matt and Pastor Jeremiah, they're up there just spraying away. Just standing up there, spraying like nobody's business. I'm down below pushing them, you know, making sure they get what they need to get done. But when I was up there, you know how I got up there? When I got to the top, I did this right here. This is no lie. This is me on top of the scaffolding, and I'm hanging on like this here, and I'm going. I get a little braver, and I'm like, oh. That's about the way it was on the scaffolding, too. But I painted a little section, and I came right back down. I did it. All right. I wanted to face my fear and say, I painted that section right there. It happens to be the best painted section up there, in case you can't tell. But we all have fears. You know what else? I'm afraid of sometimes. I've gotten better, but over my lifetime, I can tell you, I've had a fear of talking to strangers. Anyone else have a fear of talking to strangers? And then it's hard to believe. Some of you think, you're a pastor, and you struggle with talking to strangers. Talking in front of hundreds of people doesn't bother me. I mean, the bigger the crowd, the more comfortable I am many times. But, man, you get me in front of one person I don't know, and I can freeze up. And I'm like, what am I going to talk about? Do we have anything in common to talk about? What am I going to say? And are they going to be like, who are you, dude, trying to talk to me? You don't know me. And so many times fear will grip my heart and keep me from talking to strangers. Anybody else have that problem? Okay, some of you. Some of you, you never met a stranger in your life. You can talk to any stranger, anywhere, anytime. It's the kind of people you sit next to, you know, at where you're waiting in the office at the doctor or in the auto shop. And, man, they're just talking to everybody that comes in, you know, and they're keeping the conversation going and flowing. And, man, you get in the elevator and like, hi. You know, you're like, whoa, you're a little too close. Close talker. Yeah, you like to talk. And you're right there in my face. And I'm like, fear is gripping my heart. But I had to learn to address those fears. I have to learn because if God's going to call me to do things out of my comfort zone, it's going to be mean. Many times I have to talk to people I do not know. I'm going to have to talk to strangers. I'm going to have to tell them, hey, God wants me to tell you this. God wants me to do this for you. I need to, and all these things are going to happen. I've got to learn to tackle my fears. I know that many times I'm asking this question, what are your greatest fears? When you get up and you look in the mirror, what are the greatest fears you see staring at you? What are the things you fear the most? What are the things that you're afraid of? If God asks you to do this, you're afraid about what he might say. Let me just give this first point to you. What are the steps? What step are you afraid to take that result in a depth or closeness to God? What's a step that maybe you know God's asking you to take, a step that he's asking you to do that would result in you growing closer to God, maturing in your relationship with him? What's the one thing God's asking you to do or maybe to give up that scares you the most? Some of you, you're afraid of giving up something that maybe God's asking you to give up. You're fearful of giving up that relationship that maybe he's asking you to end. You're afraid of giving up maybe an addiction that he's asking you to stop. You're afraid of doing something and giving up things that maybe he's asking you to do. For some of you, it's afraid of giving up your tithe and your offering. God, I don't know if I can make it without this. Am I going to run out of money? What's going to happen? We get fearful. We allow fear to continue to paralyze us and keep us from experiencing everything that God has for us. And so I would tell you this, that as long as you live in fear, you live right here. When you allow fear to keep you chained up, you allow fear to keep you isolated, you allow fear to keep you right there, you're going to stay right there in your comfort zone. But I love the line that it's in the movie Shawshank Redemption. I love the line when he's there and he's tired of being in prison for something he didn't do. Remember, he was falsely accused of killing his wife, and he was there and he was innocent. And finally, he made a decision. He says, man, you got to get busy living or get busy dying, because really there's no in-between. You're either growing or you're dying. There's no stagnation, man. There's nothing there. You're either dying or you're going. And so when you allow fear to grip you, man, you're dying spiritually. You're dying physically. You're not experiencing the full life that God has designed for you and I to live. And so we got to say, God, I got to get out of my comfort zone. And I got to come to the edge and say, God, what are you asking me to do? What are the things I'm afraid of that you're asking me to do? And I got to face those fears that say, ready or not, here I come. God, I'm going to jump out and do this thing. I'm scared, but it's okay because, God, you're big and you're going to hold me. God, you're going to help me. And we put our faith in him when we get out of our comfort zone and begin to do things that stretch us and cause us to face the very fears that we have in our life. I wrote down a few things that maybe you're fearful of. Maybe you're afraid to join a life group. Pastor, I don't want to join a life group. If you go to a life group, you got to talk. And you got to open up your life. I don't want to lead a life group either because you got to open up your home. And man, I just don't want to do that because I've got this wall built up. And what if I go there and people don't like me? Let me tell you the truth. They probably don't like you anyway. That's all right. It ain't going to change either way. Maybe they will begin to like you because you get to know them. I'm just playing around, but you know what I'm saying. We have so many fears that keep us isolated. And maybe we're fearful of joining the group and becoming the New Testament church that we find in Scripture. That talks about us going from home to home and sharing our testimony, sharing our lives together and doing church together, doing Christ together. Becoming a body of believers together where iron sharpens iron and we call out greatness in each other and we hold each other accountable and we help support each other through hard times. That's the body of Christ. But as long as you live fearful of getting involved in a small group of people, you're going to miss that out. And so you sometimes for you, some of you here, that's just getting out of your comfort zone saying, you know what? I'm going to try it one time. I'm going to try it one time and do it every week. Every week I'm seeing posts on Facebook and seeing people write out things where they tried a life group for the first time and they keep saying the same thing. What was I waiting for? Why did I do this earlier? Why didn't I try it earlier? Anybody relate to that? You know what I'm talking about. You're like, wow, I was so fearful of doing that. I was afraid these people are going to be weird. No, man, they cook good and there's a lot of good snacks. And they laugh and they're real people with real issues. They have real problems just like me. They have real kids who have problems just like my kids. They have a real marriage that has problems just like my marriage. They have a real job that has problems just like we do. They have real financial bills that come in just like I do and struggle sometimes to pay. We're doing real life together. And we're learning that none of us have it together. And when you get there, you're like, what was I so afraid of? We've all got warts, man. We've all got them. And, you know, none of us are perfect, and none of us have it all together, including me. We don't have it together. We need each other. So we got to let your fear come down and say, I want to get involved. I want to step out. Maybe you have a fear of serving children. Pastor, now, I just know that if I volunteer to help in the children's class, man, those kids, they got cooties. And, you know, I'm going to get in there, and these kids are going to be crying and doing this here, and I'm going to freak out, and I'm going to run out of the classroom, and I'm going to run in the middle of here. My hair is going to be sticking up straight. Oh! You know what's going to happen? You're going to get in there, and your heart's going to soften for those kids. God's going to give you a love for them, and the snot in those kids you didn't want to even touch before, you're like, come here. You just want to love on them, and you just start telling them about the love of God and teaching their class, and your heart begins to soften for them. Because God's going to give you that love when you step out in your comfort zone. I don't want anything. Step out of your fear and see. I need to come. I need to serve somewhere. I need to come down here. I need to shake hands. I need to greet people that are coming in the door, Pastor, but I'm afraid. Do you know how many germs are transferred every day through handshakes? Some of you germ phobes, you know, you got a fear of coming and shaking people's hands. And let me tell you, it's okay. We got a thing called Germex. It'll all wash off. Just don't do this when you get done, okay? Just don't lick your hands. Other than that, you're good. Get past those fears. Let God do what he wants to do. For some of you, maybe it's the fear of going and talking to a stranger outside this building. Maybe it's going talking to your coworker or your family member. If I tell my family member what God's really done in my life, they're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to reject me because they know me as this person, and now I'm telling on this person. And the man, they're going to think I'm crazy. And so we have a fear of opening up to our family and telling our family what God's really done in our life. Or a coworker, well, they see me as this person at work, and if I open up and share my spiritual side and what God's done, is that going to change the dynamic of my work environment now? Am I going to be one of the guys? Am I going to fit in as one of the girls? Am I still going to be invited to the cool lunch? Am I going to be invited to sit at the cool table? You know what I'm talking about. Come on. Some of you haven't left high school yet, still letting fear paralyze you. It's time we get over ourselves and say, God, I want to step out of this. I want you to use me, man. And God, I can tell you there's times I've been standing in line at Walmart or at the dollar store or somewhere, and God says, turn around and tell this person this. I'm like, God, I'm not at the church. I don't want to do this. I'm at Walmart. I'll wait till Sunday and preach it, but man, I don't want to tell this person one-on-one who I don't know. God's like, turn around and tell this person what I want you to tell them right here. And he'll tell my heart exactly what to say. And I'm like, butterflies are all going. But I'll turn around and I'll say, I don't know if this makes any sense to you or not, but I just feel like God wants me to tell you this. And you tell them, and all of a sudden tears start streaming down their face. Like, you have no idea what I was going through today. I needed to hear that. Well, maybe God tells you, he's done this to me. You get ahead in line and pay for that person's groceries ahead of you. See that mom struggling with that baby in the cart, and she's worrying about how she's going to pay for this. She's doing the math in her head, thinking, I just hope my card does not be declined this time. You sense that in your spirit, and God says, I want you to pay for this. But God, if I do that, that's going to take half the money I had in my account this week. Am I going to make it? And fear grips your heart. Not that you don't want to help them, but you're worried about yourself too. And God says, do it. And you do it. And you see that person and say, God just wanted me to do this for you, and I just want you to know God loves you. And you buy the groceries or something like that. I've done that before. And I'm thinking, all right, God, you're going to have to provide for me for the rest of the week. You know what? He always does. He always does. And things come out of nowhere, and things come back. And this happens, but I've got to get past my fear. It's hard sometimes to get to that place where I'm listening to God and doing what he wants me to do because it's fearful of the unknown. And it's fearful to do those things, but that's where God wants you and I to live. Because, baby, you ain't living if you're sitting there. You're not living there. You're going to live when you're on the edge. He says, I've come that you may have life and have life to the what? To the fullest. He wants you to experience everything in life that he has for you. And he's going to call you to the edge, and sometimes he's going to ask you to jump. And that's all right, because he's going to catch you. But he's going to test you and see, are you really going to jump? Come on, we do this for our own kids all the time, don't we? Jump, dad's got you. Jump, mommy's going to catch you. Next time, a little further back. Jump. Jump. Oh, sorry, I missed. We want to see, we love to see our kids trust us, don't we? It pleases them when they trust us and they jump to us. We got to learn to face our fears and jump to our Heavenly Father who's waiting for us to jump out there, do something. It's because we're all good at telling our children to face our fears. I mean, it's a part of our parenthood instincts is to help our children face their fears, right? I can't swim, Dad. Yes, you can. That water's not going to hurt you. I can't swim. Yes, you are. You go right. You ain't going to try. Just stand up. Oh, okay. You stand up and the kid's out here in the water. See, you're all right. It wasn't over your head, son. Just stand up. Well, it could have been. We had to help our kids face their fears. Son, it's time for you to take off the training wheels and ride your bike without training wheels. But Dad, I can't ride my bike without training wheels. Son, you're 12. It's time to learn. It's embarrassing. My 12-year-old son walking around with the bell and training wheels. We take off the training wheels and push them down the street. They fall off. What do? Oh, we go, get up! And we pick them up and we push them again. There you go! You got it! Yeah! Way to face your fears, son. Way to face your fears, daughter. And we all, you know, Dad, this kid in school, he called me this and he pushed me down. Well, tomorrow when you go back to school, you're going to stand up to that boy toe to toe and you're going to look him in the eye and tell him he ain't never going to touch you again. If he puts his hands on you, know, you don't, come on, like, I'm the only parent that's ever done this, okay? All the principals here, please cover your ears. Come on, we make them face their fears, don't we? Why? Because otherwise they'll live their whole life scared. And we live our whole life as parents tearing on our kids about facing their fears. Then Pastor Gene gets up and talks about facing our fears, and we're like, but I can't, Pastor. Pastor Gene's like, get up and take your spiritual training wheels off and get up there and go to the edge. We're like, I'm scared, Pastor. And I'm like, get up and go, man. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. So I'm calling you out today to say, you know what? You got to learn to take a risk. Get out there and see what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. Don't be afraid. It's a part of growing up spiritually that you learn to take risk and to get out there. You're never going to grow playing it safe. You're never going to grow to stay in there in that comfort zone. You're going to have to get out of that comfort zone and say, God, what are you asking me to do? And many times it's the thing that I fear the most. God, what if you ask me to do this? What if God asked me to start witnessing somebody and then a year later he wants me to go to Zimbabwe, Africa or somewhere, man? Mike, you're going to call me back to Africa, man. What if God asked me to do that? How about we just worry about Joplin first, okay? Just don't get so fearful of the whole nation. Let's just worry about being a witness at our school, our job, our neighborhood. How about that? Just don't let fear grip you. I just tell you, God wants to do so much in your life. And I see the greatness in you. I sense what God's doing as you're saying, yes, I want to get out of my comfort zone. Yes, I'm ready to grow. Yes, and I see so much growth happening in so many people. And I see so many people stepping up. This is what I see at Destiny Church. I see so many people right there out of their seat. Pastor, I'm ready to step out of my comfort zone. And you're right there on the edge. You're like right there. And you're like, Dad. I mean, you're right there. You're right there, and you're at a critical point because either you're going to jump or you're going to find yourself, ah, I'll wait, I'll wait. And you'll slide right back to here. You see, I'm here today to say, it's all right, jump. Go for it. Your Heavenly Father's going to catch you. If he's asking you to do something, go for it. Get out there. Listen to his voice. I love this story in Acts chapter 3. A story of Peter getting out of his fear. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 talks about Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gates, the one called Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. Verse 3 says, when they saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. And Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. And the lame man looked up at them eagerly, expecting a gift. You can imagine him not looking people in the eye, just holding out, asking for money, asking for alms. And Peter stops and says, look at me. And they're like, wow, this guy's speaking to me. He must really going to give me something good. Look what he says. Expecting a gift from them. But Peter said, I don't have any money for you, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened right there. Right there, they were healed and strengthened right away. Snap, crackle, pop, back into place. Strength back into place. Muscles strengthened right there before their eyes because he said, silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. I mean, you talk about pressure. What if they do this right here? JD, what if he says, get up and walk? Get up and walk, and he falls down. I mean, come on, come on. I'm talking about it. He falls all down. He's like, did you not hear me, man? I said, get up and walk. God, you told me to tell this guy to get up and walk. I mean, that's a pretty much a fearful thing, right? I mean, that would be a very much a thing of saying, God, man, you out there. But I believe this man had heard from God. I believe the Spirit of God spoke to him in an instant and said, you're going to tell this man to get up and walk. And he did it, obedient. What happened? He seized the opportunity that was before him. He seized a God-giving moment that he could have passed by every single day. How many of us pass by God-given encounters every day? that we don't seize the opportunity that God's wanting you just to show the love to somebody, just to speak a word of encouragement to somebody, just to speak into somebody's life, just to sow into somebody's life, just to help somebody out every day. And we miss the opportunity. But I love what happens in 3:12, Acts 3:12. It says, Peter saw his opportunity to address the crowd. See, Peter was good at that. He saw the opportunity and he addressed the crowd. People of Israel, he said, what is so astounding about this? And why look at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power and godliness? And he goes on to say, hey, this wasn't me. This was God. The crowd's coming in. They're up in an uproar. What's happened? This man was begging. Now he's in here in the temple with us, walking, leaping, and praising God. What happened? Peter's like, I seen the opportunity. I prayed, and it is God. It's not me. Peter was good, and John, they saw the opportunity. They seized it. But I want to tell you that sometimes with a risk, it always comes sometimes the risk of bad things coming along with that. The fear of rejection, that's pretty good because oftentimes rejection will come. Look what happens in the very next chapter in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the leading priests, the captains of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees came over to them. And they were very disturbed that Peter and John were claiming on the authority of Jesus that there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them. And since it was already evening, they jailed them until morning. This is what I love about the story, because this is what's happening. The lame man, the beggar, he's healed, he's free, and he's walking fine. The man who prayed the prayer of faith is in jail. What's the irony here? The lame man's healed, he's walking and leaping and praising God, free, and the person who stepped out on faith and was the risk taker, they end up in jail. See, it doesn't always happen to be roses all the time. People aren't always going to accept your message. They're not always going to accept that you say that God loves them and God has something for them. People aren't always going to accept it. People rejected the disciples, they rejected Jesus, and they're going to reject you. That's going to happen. But the great thing is you're going to see people get up and walk who have been spiritually lame for years. You're going to see people, God, heal their lives who have been hurt for many years. And I love what the rest of the story happens because it says the next morning. I love the story about the next morning. In Acts 4, 7, 8, it says this, that they brought in the two disciples and demanded, but what power and whose name have you done this? Look what Peter says. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. First of all, let me say this to you. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to see God step out of your comfort zone, you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Leaders and elders of our nation. And he goes on to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who they crucified, and what God was doing, a new thing. And this is an awesome thing, because think about it. Who's he talking to? The leaders and who? Leaders and elders of who? The nation. So he gets placed in jail. Woe is me. And then the next day, he finds that he has a captive audience where he can talk about the great God that he serves in front of who? The leaders and elders of the whole nation. You tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor? I mean, God takes the bad things that happen because you step out in faith and he turns them around and makes them even greater in our life. He was able to share the gospel with all these leaders and elders because he simply did the small thing that God was asking him to do. Because he seized the small opportunities, God turned things around, and then he had big opportunities to speak to multitudes and even the leaders and the elders of the nation. Because he seized the opportunity. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that helps me face my fears. Peter, being full of the Holy Spirit, he was sensitive to the moving of God and what was happening. How many here would love to have the Holy Spirit speak to you more every day? How many here say, Pastor, I want to really learn to hear God call me to the edge? I mean, how many would say that? Boy, Pastor, if God would just tell me every day exactly my edge moment where he wants me to step out and do something, I would love to hear it every day. How many would say, I would really love to hear God tell me that? All right, I'm going to tell you the secret right now. This is the secret of hearing God every day. I'd be able to hear God more and more in your life. When you learn to be obedient right now, and the first thing he tells you, he's going to tell you step B. When you do plan A, then he's going to reveal plan B. And when you do plan B, he's going to reveal plan C and D. And when you do C and D, he's going to get you all the way down. But he's not going to give you plan B if you're still stuck at plan A. If he's telling you, I want you to step out. And I want you to tell this certain person at work that I love them and I got something better for life. Well, God, they'll never listen to me. That person's, you know how big of a jerk they are. Yeah, she works with them right there. She knows exactly what I'm talking about. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. And we don't, nah, I ain't doing that. But we do that, and then the next day God says, all right, you're obedient. Let me tell you this, and I got this, and I got this. See, the more we listen, the more he's going to speak. The more we act on what he tells us, the more he's going to trust us with about our future. Makes very sense, doesn't it? How many of us are going to talk to somebody who doesn't listen? Why should I reveal to you the plan for the future when you can't even get past the plan for the day? So the way to grow in hearing the Lord more is just to learn to be obedient in the small things he's telling you to do right now. And the more you do that, the bigger the plan he unfolds, the more he'll entrust you with, and the more he's going to empower you with. It's that plain and simple. It all becomes when we physically say, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. I'm going to face my fear. I'm going to go forward. We've got to seize our opportunity. Let me close with this list real fast. We've got to learn to see. I want you to get this. We've got to learn to seize our opportunities every day. We got to learn to take risk and seize our opportunities. You got to see the opportunity, see it, that the Holy Spirit revealed with your eyes. Say, God, help me to see opportunities today to take risks for you. And you pray that prayer. That's all you got to do. That's not a hard prayer to remember. You don't have to write that down. You can remember that right now in your heart. God, help me today, once I leave here, to see opportunities where I can step out and do something for you today, whether it's talking to somebody, whether it's helping somebody, whether it's just showing your love in a practical way. Whatever it is, show me opportunities. Help me to take out, step out on a risk, face my fear of maybe being scared of doing it, and then I want to seize that moment, and I want to do it. To learn to do that, it's going to grow me, it's going to stretch me out of my comfort zone, it's going to take me to my left and bring me right back to the right spot that God has for my life. This is my prayer for you today. I want you to bow your heads. Before we go any further today, I just want to ask you the question that is so important that we ask almost every week here at Destiny Church. And almost every week we have people who make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Some of you had a fear of doing that. I'm afraid of giving God my whole life because I just don't know. I don't know if I'm ready yet or not. And today, God's wanting you to face your fear. He's wanting you to trust him with your life. And today, if you've never prayed that prayer asking Jesus Christ to forgive you your sins and to be Lord of your life, nobody's looking around but me. All eyes are closed, and I would not embarrass you in any way at all. But if that's you, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor? Thank you. Anybody else today you want to join us? Raise it right now. If you haven't raised it yet, raise your hand right now. Let me see it. So I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank you. Today we're going to pray this prayer, asking the Lord into our hearts. Those of you who raised your hands for today, we want you to say this prayer out loud, and as Christians, we're going to say it along with you. We want you to mean it from your heart. Say, dear Jesus, I give you my life.
I give you my life.
All of my sin.
All
of my dreams.
Everything I have.
I give to you.
I give to you.
I believe you are the Messiah.
I believe you are the Messiah.
God's only Son.
God's only Son.
And from this day forward,
I
will live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today, if you prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it from your heart, we say, welcome to the family of God. Let's give him a hand clap. Yeah, great. Awesome. Before you leave today, please stop by the back. We've got our information booth back here, and it's got a free Bible, some other information, tells you what you need to do next upon your journey. How many today say, I want to learn to face my fears, Pastor? Today I want to learn to face my fears. I want God to take me out of my comfort zone and help me face the fears every day that I know I need to face. I bet you, I want you to stand on your feet this morning. Say, God's calling me to face my fears. We're going to close out this time together. I'm going to invite you to come to the front with me and join me here as we close out in this song. And as we do today, we're going to sing a song that simply says, Jesus, I believe in you. You're the reason that I sing. You're the reason that I live. Simple song of saying, God, I'm giving you all my life. And I want you to see yourself stepping out of your fear, walking to the front and saying, God, I'm ready to face my fears. I'm not going to allow my fear to keep me back any longer, but I'm going to step forward. We're just going to close out in this song of coming together. Make room to go to the front, guys. If you can step in a little closer to the front. Make room for those coming in. Thank you. Continue to step a little forward. Close any gaps in front of you. You can step up and make sure you close any gaps in front of you, making room for those that are coming in. Just simply making it the prayer of our hearts to close today, saying, God, I'm giving you my life. I want you to use me. I believe in you. I'm going to proclaim your truth every day in my life. I'm going to face the fears that you're asking me to face. And I'm going to allow you to grow in me. And I'm excited about the opportunity to grow in you. Let's sing a song together. Jesus, I believe in you.
Into your hand, and I commit again. And all I am for you, Lord. You hold my world in the palm of your hands. And I am yours forever. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all. I'll walk with you wherever you go, through the tears of love,
tears and joy.
I will trust,
I'll trust in you,
and I will live a life all your way,
in all of your ways,
your promises, Lord.
Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong
to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I see. Oh,
Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, oh, the reason that I sing with all I am.
I will worship you, oh Lord.
I will worship.
worship you, oh Lord. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live. Oh, the reason that I see. Oh, Jesus, I believe.
I want you just to raise your hands right now. Father, I pray for every person here. Lord, as we are learning to face our fears, as we're learning to get out of the place that you're calling us to be, and God, we got to come face to face with the things that we fear the most, whether it's releasing somebody out of our life, whether it's giving something up that we don't want to give up, whether we're stepping out and talking to somebody that we don't want to do, whatever it is, God, we're serving in the area that we refused to do in the past. God, whatever it is that you're asking us to do, I pray right now that a spiritual boldness will begin to rise up in your people. And God, you allow your freedom to serve, to speak, proclaim your truth. And God, right now, I speak right now that a boldness will come upon your people, God, to face their fears, that we can proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that you can change us and mold us into the people you're calling us to be. And we say together, amen and amen. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord one more time. Listen, today before you leave, I'm excited about you facing your fears. I can't wait to hear testimonies of you stepping out this week, okay? Looking for opportunities, taking the risk, and seizing that moment that God is placing in your life. Do it. Today before you leave, don't forget two things. Number one, I need you to stop by and volunteer for 30 minutes between 6 and 8 on Wednesday night for Kid Fest. And I also need as many people who can help as also to stack up the chairs. Stack them up in stacks of six. If you can help us stack them up in stacks of six, that would greatly appreciate that before we leave today. God bless you. Turn to somebody, give them a hug, high fives, and man, it's good to be with you.